Now we're going to meet an author whose new novel, The Wake, became a hit against all odds in the UK last year. The book is being released in the US next week. I met Paul Kingsnorth at his home in the countryside of far western Ireland. He and his wife grow their own food and homeschool their two young kids.
I think we'll get bees and chickens, we hope. Maybe something else. Leela, you want an alpaca, don't you? Leela wants an alpaca or a donkey or anything fluffy, really.
Kingsnorth's latest novel is definitely not soft and fluffy. The Wake is set during the Norman Conquest, when armies from France swept across England, crushing Anglo-Saxon civilization. It's sort of a post-apocalyptic tale set in the 11th century. Also, it's written in a slightly made-up language. More about that in a bit. Before the book came out in Britain last year, Kingsnorth assumed it would be a flop.
I suppose I was probably halfway through it when I thought there's no way anyone's going to publish this. I'm writing a book about a period in history no one knows about, in a language no one can understand, with a central character who's horrible. There's absolutely no way anyone's going to touch this with a barge pole, but I don't care.
Kingsnorth used a crowdsourcing platform called Unbound to fund the book because he couldn't get any mainstream publishers to bite. Then something strange happened.
The first inkling I got that it might be successful was when the first review came out, which was in The Guardian, which said it was a literary triumph, which I thought, blimey, no one's ever said that about my writing before.
Then one day he was working in the garden when he got a phone call with some news.
It's just been longlisted for the Booker Prize. I thought, bloody hell, what? This is ridiculous.
To top it all off, the great Shakespearean actor Mark Rylance bought the film rights. Here's Rylance reading from the first page of The Wake, recorded for the Telegraph newspaper.
And who will hear the gleeoman when the tales he tells is black? Who looks at the heifer if it brings him rain? Who looks in the mirror when there seems no end to its diopness?
Who looks in the mirror when there seems no end to its diopness? If that doesn't sound like modern English, well, it's not. At first, Paul Kingsnorth tried writing the book in the language that you and I speak today.
I didn't get too far, and I just thought, this isn't working. It seems strange. It made me realize why some historical novels I've read didn't work for me. And I thought, I just can't have this guy doing 300 pages of contemporary English idiom, and what's the alternative to that?
So he began by sprinkling a few Old English words into the text. Then he went all the way until it was nearly incomprehensible. And finally, he pulled back on the throttle to create what he calls a shadow tongue, a mashup of old and new. The main character is a rebel, an insurgent who tries to fight back against the invading French. As a reader, I found that the language starts as an obstacle and quickly pulls you deep into the world of the novel. Kingsnorth says this is because the words we use to describe our world shape our perception of it.
So there might be 10 different names in 10 different languages for that willow tree over there, and they may give the people who use those names a subtly different way of seeing the tree, a subtly different relationship to it.
Did you find that in writing in this language, you saw the land around you in a different way because of the language in which you were writing?
Yes, I think I probably did. I think what you find when you start to look at Old English and you start to look at the kind of Anglo-Saxon relationship with the land is that it's a starker thing. Because it's possible to just pass over landscapes in the world today. You don't have to really have any relationship with them at all. You can drive through them, and if you're living the kind of life that these people lived in the fens 1,000 years ago, you have to have a relationship with every single thing that's there.
The Anglo-Saxon relationship to the swampy land known as the fens is similar to Kingsnorth's relationship with his land here in Western Ireland. The house is disconnected from the water grid. He and his wife plan to put up solar panels and wind turbines to get off the electrical grid too. There are clear parallels between Kingsnorth's writing and his lifestyle. The closeness to the land, the sense that civilization as we know it may not last, the longing for a simpler time. Listen to the author read this passage from The Wake.
Our fathers was freer than us. Our fathers' fathers stalked the wild fens. Now the fens is being tamed. Everything gets smaller. For every child born, there is some new law. A man should be free and alone on his land. The world should not come in unless he asks it. Freedom should there be in England again, like there was in the old days, in the first days of the English.
It's funny that even 1,000 years ago, they were looking back on earlier days as better than they were.
Well, this is one of the other things I was exploring with the book, actually, is the idea of nostalgia, that there's always a time before your time when things were better. Because, you know, I can be prone to that myself, so I wanted to explore what it was like. And I don't doubt that 1,000 years ago there were men in England saying, oh, it was better when our fathers came, it was better when their fathers came. Of course there would have been. And maybe it would have been. But, you know, there's always this temptation to see this time before a fall when everything came apart.
Those echoes between the 11th century and the present day resonated with English readers. The UK booksellers industry crowned The Wake Book of the Year. The novel is released here in the US next week.